Coming up on this episode of All About Android, we are going to discuss the clumsy demise of Google Plus, Allo, and Hangouts. Also, the Samsung Galaxy A8, the Honor View 20. We'll talk a little bit about hole punch designs, display designs, and what we think of those dual screen devices, RCS chat on Verizon. So much to talk about. This show is jam-packed. All About Android is next.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by CuriosityStream, a subscription streaming service that offers over 2,000 documentaries and nonfiction titles from some of the world's best filmmakers, including exclusive originals. Visit CuriosityStream.com/twit and use code TWIT to get 1 month free. And by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans, introducing Rate Shield Approval. If you're in the market to buy a home, Rate Shield Approval locks up your rate for up to 90 days while you shop. It's a real game changer. You can learn more and get started at rocketmortgage.com/android. And by DigitalOcean, the easiest cloud platform to deploy, manage, and scale applications. Over 150,000 businesses rely on DigitalOcean to remove infrastructure friction and deliver industry-leading price performance. Sign up today and receive a free $100 credit at do.co/twit. Hello and welcome to All About Android, episode 399. What? Recorded on Tuesday, December 11th, 2018. Your weekly source to latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I'm Jason Howell.
And I'm Ron Richards on much better internet.
And I'm Florence Ion. $399, are your audio mine?
$399.
So it's such a milestone. I've almost only been involved in the 399th episode of a podcast one other time. And this is more amazing than that time. So it's great.
We were talking before the show. Ron has a new angle right now. Not only is he at home, so his internet is stable, but we can see out of his window.
You can see the lovely skyline of Manhattan that is three blocks away. But I mean, and it's hard if you look directly behind me, there's a window shade, and directly above it, you see two like white lights to the left of the white pillar.
Mm-hmm.
That is the Empire State Building.
Oh, no biggie.
Yeah. So if you were here, you could see the whole wonderful Empire State Building. But in California, it's just two white dots. But it's there. And you can't see it from here, but there's the Chrysler Building. So,
I'll take your word for it. It just looks like a bunch of Christmas lights.
It does. And I wanted to show everybody, because the Twit set is all festive for the holidays, non-denominational decorations. We have our tree here, our holiday tree that we are celebrating with. And so we haven't decorated the wreath too much, but the wreath is there as well. And I really just wanted to make it up to the viewers because I'm so sorry about my hotel Wi-Fi last week. I feel horrible. But the show must go on, and we did it. But I'm back. I'm a home base, back on fiber. Good internet connection,
ooh,
solid.
He has fiber.
So, oh, wow.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Not even I don't have, man.
I know. It's unfair.
Yeah, that's nice.
Fios pulled out of California. I didn't know this. A buddy of mine moved to LA from New York, and he tried to transfer his Fios service, and the Fios sales guy's like, oh, yeah, no, we pulled out of California completely.
Wow.
Which is, yeah.
Which is interesting, sorry, considering this is where a lot of that tech is incubated.
Yeah, right.
Sure is.
Well, I, for one, really appreciate you guys doing the show and soldiering through even with bad internet. Thank you for doing that because it allowed me to see my children perform in their music.
Thank you for trusting us enough to run the helm while you're out.
Trusting you, please. You guys are
I'm projecting.
You do this all the time.
It just goes
to show how many days I take off. I'm sorry.
No,
I'm really sorry.
Don't apologize. No, this is a night show.
Yeah, kids' musical performances, that comes in, it's way more important. And I just feel bad that I didn't have a car or my schedule didn't allow me to go do the show with Juan in person. And I'm still kicking myself because he made cookies and everything.
Yeah, he made Ron
there,
cookies.
And Juan is so great, and I'm glad that we got him back on the show. And that was such a fun show to do, despite my robot-y voice. So thank you, everyone, for dealing with it. But I got to tell everybody, I'm very excited for this special holiday edition of the 399th episode of All About Android.
This is going to be an amazing episode. We've got so much news, as you would expect. Is this time of year normally a heavy news time? I feel like things have slowed down at this point, usually, but this week, not so.
Usually. If you judge by my inbox, though, definitely everybody's gearing up for CES.
Oh, boy.
I got my first, are you going to CES the other day? And I just laughed.
Yeah, no, I don't think so. Hey, why don't we cue you, Victor? It's time for you to perform with the news bumper.
I, for one, am glad Jason's here this week because I get to see all three of you perform Android News.
Oh, yeah. You know, doesn't happen very often.
Doesn't happen very often. And I'm just glad that Victor didn't steal my thunder because, oh, what a doozy of a story have we got for you today.
Tell us,
just when you thought it couldn't get any worse for Google and Google Plus, the other shoe dropped. So Google Plus's clunky demise continues with the announcement. And I literally saw this and the Looney Tunes eyes coming out of my head happened. The announcement on Google's blog that 52.5 million users were exposed to a security issue through the service Google Plus, thanks to a November update that had a Google Plus API bug. So in addition to the original leak or you know, kind of hole that originally happened, this is another one that happened in November. They reiterated that no unauthorized access has been discovered and no evidence of wrongdoing during the 6 days of exposure. It meant that non-public profiles could have been accessed via the API during that time. It was discovered and fixed within a week. And as a result, they've now moved up the Google Plus shutdown to April 2019, because clearly when there's smoke, there's fire. And if you remember back, the original one, as I was referring to, the previous exploit that was announced in October led Google to announce that Google Plus would go away in August 2019. But now they're moving that up to April as they're frantically just trying to kill this thing because there's so many leaks in this boat. It's sinking.
So does that mean that, like, if something else happens, it'll move up to, like, January? Probably if something else happens, they'll just be like, yeah, you know what, next week. Sorry.
Yeah, you know what, we're unplugging it right now. That's it. Everybody's done. No more.
It's not good. It's literally the guy in Airplane who, like, all the lights in the airport goes out, and then there's Johnny holding the plug, and he's like, yes. Oh, sorry. And he plugs it back in.
Whoever that person is at the meeting that keeps saying, come on, can't we just give it a couple of more months? Come on, that person's probably going to be fired the next time. They'll be like, you know, we're not listening to you anymore.
Imagine the meeting where they're like, how certain are you that there are no other holes in this API? Like, we're pretty certain it's
solid.
Safe.
Nothing's going to happen. Really, you have my word.
52.5 million user accounts. I mean, that's all of us. That's us. That's everybody.
Yeah. You know, this just, JJ, you're pointing out something that I'm just really uncomfortable with right now, is the fact that that means we have to move up our search for a new polling mechanism.
Yes. I know. We're doing over the holiday.
Yeah. we're like, we'll worry about that next year.
I know. We're putting it off until the bitter end.
We really should have that in place for January. We need to start the year clean, I think, to be honest.
That makes sense. That makes sense, but doesn't sound fun. I want fun in my life, Ron. Finding a new polling system doesn't sound fun. But hey, if you've got suggestions, let us know. AAA@twit.tv.
Email us.
Yes.
We have an unused blackboard in the hallway.
Oh.
A blackboard.
That sounds fun. Would you like to update that every day, Victor?
We're going to go lo-fi. Yes. We're going to go analog for the poll. So it's what we want everyone to do is write the app you're voting for and mail it to Twit.
And 3 months later, like, we'll tell you who won on that episode.
Like the old school ways where you just send $5 in the mail and then you'd get a Luke Perry pamphlet.
So how worried are you guys about Google Plus just existing now? Like, now that this happened?
I mean, I honestly, I don't know if I feel any weirder than I did prior to this. I don't really use it a whole lot. I only use it for the show with the poll, as evidenced by our Google Plus community.
Remember, Jason, you and I were like, we're going to use Google Plus more.
Well, yeah.
And like we were posting more. And this is like 3 years ago. Remember when we were like, yeah, you know, I mean, look at my lower third. It's my Google Plus is still in it.
Yep. Yeah. No kidding. All right. So we're going to need to edit your lower third because that plus Ron Richards doesn't make a whole lot of sense anymore.
Probably should have done that a long time ago.
In fact, when was the last time you went to Google Plus and checked out plus Ron Richards?
When was the last time I went to about.me? That's
I think I know what I'm getting there. Ron for Christmas. I'm going to buy him RonRichards.com.
I mean,
I do have RonXO.com. I just never use it. So.
Oh, well, that seems like the obvious one to put down there. We'll work on the lower third. If you know what Ron should put in his lower third, let us know. Triple
Ron, would you like me to host you at my website? That's what we used to do in the early 2000s. People would like host each other and then like give you a directory and then you'd give them the FTP and then they would like upload
it. Yeah. I was just thinking the blog roll on the side.
Back in the early
aughts. Here's all my friends' blogs too.
No. Back in the early aughts, there were like the lucky people who had like whose parents let them pay for server space and they would like let you have a directory where you could upload your website.
I remember that. Tilda.
Yeah.
Exactly. /Tilda R. Richards.
Vintage internet.
Do you happen to have breaking news? The breaking news thing. Uh-oh. Go ahead and launch this because I think this is really important.
We got breaking news.
Yeah, we got some breaking news.
Oh dear Lord,
this is really important. I want pie. This just in. Bleak in the chat room posted a link.
This isn't going to impress anybody, by the way.
Bleak in the chat room posted a link to Ron's MySpace account. Breaking news. MySpace.com/RonXO. And when you go there, you'll see that Ron has a whopping 203 people he's connected to.
That's a lot back then.
188 people have connected to him. And he still lives in San Francisco, California.
There you go. And there's no other content either.
No. Well, yeah. I mean, when MySpace kind of transformed into whatever the hell it is now, they kind of removed everything that was legacy, which was kind of sad because so many of us actually had history in those pages. Yep. It would be nice to be able to look at them in their old way, but instead we get...
Oh, no. The MySpace time was a bad time for Flo. It's okay. We don't need that time.
Maybe, yeah, hey, yes,
I will maybe, say I never had a live journal. I never had a live journal.
Neither did I.
Oh, I have mine backed up on every single hard drive I own.
Not surprised.
I'm sorry if that was breaking news abuse. Yeah. I want to see my old MySpace page, but that's just me.
You know, is this a good time for us to segue? this is a good time for us to segue. You know what else that we have to probably mourn?
Yeah.
Is the fact that Ron, Jason, and I need to find a new group chat app to talk with each other because Allo is going bye-bye, which is really a super bummer. So this all like transpired end of last week, and it was all just kind of simmering. It was all kind of bubbling to the surface, right? You know, if those of you who might be a part of what is called quote-unquote Android Twitter might have seen, you know, the back and forths of 9to5 Google talking with product members from Google about Allo and messaging strategy. And then Just You Birdie was tweeting about what the strategy is. And it was all this slight hearsay and gossip, which turned eventually into breaking news. Yeah. Allo is going bye-bye, but not just Allo. So actually, let me start from the beginning because I'm jumping ahead of myself.
That's okay.
So there's a lot of things changing in the messaging world. So let's kind of go through it very quickly. 9to5 Google sources have said that Hangouts would end in 2020. That's coming pretty soon. Google had said those sources were misinformed, that consumer Hangouts would end, but users would be upgraded, quote unquote, to a consumer version of Hangouts chat /Meet. Sorry. Currently, these are G Suite enterprise only apps, and the idea is that they were going to do this in 2019. Then 9to5 Google posted sources saying Allo was nearing its end. Google then announced that Allo would end in March of next year, so that's about 3 months from now. It is now reminding users to download their Allo chats and media before closure. There's a support page out there. I know Lifehacker and The Verge posted an article in the last couple days with a how-to on this. If you want to go Google that and use that way. Google also kind of spent the time to reiterate its devotion to Messages and Duo, however. So those of us in like the consumer space, we're still going to have the Duo video and voice calls. So that's still very much a part of the messaging strategy, which makes sense. I mean, that's how you use it on the smart displays, etc. And Messages, I'm assuming, is going to get a bunch of those features rolled up into it through RCS. I just don't know if that's going to mean the way the assistant worked in Allo, how it would sort of do the real-time search, because that, in my opinion, was the coup de grace of the Allo experience.
But was it? Because it was kind of, I understand.
My opinion again.
Yeah. I mean,
solely my opinion.
Like, I realized that Google really wanted and has wanted many, many times and has had some success integrating Assistant into all of these things. And this was part of that. We're bringing Assistant Smarts directly into your chat. And so when you're in a chat, you don't have to leave chat. You can, you know, integrate the Assistant as part of your chat and get answers to questions and everything. I just never found it to be anything more than like, that was amusing.
If anything, it was intrusive and rarely helpful. It was like if you even said Google, it was like yes. It was like literally like
I'm here. I'm here listening to you. Yeah, literally, exactly. Listening to every single word you're saying.
But never was I. But the problem was I was only in Allo chats with you guys.
Yeah.
And so it was never like where should we go to eat? I don't know. Hey, assistant. Like we never lived the demo basically.
I think that shows a real use case
is what we were using it for, which was chatting amongst each other. Yeah. I will say I have noticed a little update on my own personal messaging world. I have for SMS messaging. I have moved off of Textra and onto Google Messenger or Messages or whatever the latest one.
Messages, yeah.
And I feel like that's becoming more and more like Allo with every update.
And that's probably their goal, yeah.
Yep, yeah.
By the way,
I don't know that Assistant ends up in there, but sorry.
And I got to admit, though, Google Messages is actually really good. Are you guys using it? It's really good.
Yes.
I did pop in. I was just going to actually say very quickly, I used Coupe de Gras the wrong way. It means battle for mercy, which maybe if you translated it, you would think that the Google Assistant would be the last chance for Allo to have mercy. I don't know.
Sure, that works.
Anyway, I am on Verizon and I have a Pixel 3. So I got the RCS update, which went live last week on December 6th, which was Friday. Mm-hmm. And that was also the day before Katamari Damacy was relaunched for the Nintendo Switch. Okay. And so I got a pop-up that I popped in. Oh. I don't see it
here. I'm trying to move it up here.
I popped in a little screenshot.
Boom. All right. So it's in the top block, Victor. I just moved it up there underneath the block that we were at. It's the Verizon RCS stuff. Sorry.
I jumped ahead. I actually jumped ahead.
I realized when I put the show notes together that these belong together and I had separated them.
Right. So, I buried the lead. That Verizon is going to be the first to implement these RCS features into Android Messages. And this is a little pop-up I got today, which says, do you want to see when friends are typing? Which I said yes.
That's so cool.
I'm waiting to see how this works with my iMessage friends because I have a lot of threads with iMessage peeps. And I think ultimately I'm very curious to see how RCS is going to work with them because that's how I would feel that would really be beneficial. I want to see how much quickly it's going to send photos and media and things of the sort. I don't know. As far as if I need to use the Google Assistant, I still have Gboard. So Gboard does all that fancy stuff that you need Allo to do. You kind of just go in there and I'm just making sure that I have this going the right way is you hit the little arrow out and then, I think you can Google straight from Gboard, right?
Oh, yeah, you should
be
able
to. Yeah, you can. You hit the search button.
Yeah.
Right. That makes sense.
So I don't necessarily know what RCS has to do with your iMessage friends. I mean, if they're, because is Apple, did Apple roll out RCS support in iMessage on Verizon
too? No, it's just the weird part of texting with iMessage folks is that when they like a message, it'll show up as like so and so liked it, and then
I just
don't see any benefit to
but
that.
RCS isn't going to give you that though.
I just don't see the benefit of it right now because I don't know what it's supposed to do.
I mean once every other carrier is on RCS and the applications support RCS, then we will hopefully be in a great spot where RCS is a better messaging service than MMS or SMS. That's what we're hoping for. It will be able to, you know, transfer messages in a smarter way, being able to see when other people are typing and all that sort of stuff. But it's going to require Apple and iPhones to support RCS and the their software to do it as well. And that goes back to my frustration over the lack of a unified messaging protocol like SMS and MMS, which were invented in the 80s. And instead of having proprietary platforms like iMessage or WhatsApp or Telegram or whatever messaging platform du jour, hopefully, the industry will support RCS And then we'll have that, and it'll become ubiquitous, as said in the chat room by Bleak.
So there are chat features for those who got the Verizon update. And that includes me. This is what Verizon says in its support page. The chat features will allow you to send larger text messages up to 8,000 characters long. With Android Messages chat, you're no longer limited to 160 characters per message. So it won't cut all that off and send it in increments. It'll just send it as one long paragraph, I'm assuming. You'll see typing indicators, so you can see when the person on the other end is chatting, which is something that Android users wanted for a long time, especially those of us that are a little forlorn. You always want to know, who are they typing on the other end? Are they there? You'll get read receipts. You'll be able to do group chats with up to 100 participants who also have the chat features enabled. I'm assuming it's referring to RCS in this support document. High quality media sharing. So you can share pictures and videos in high quality.
Yes.
Chat over Wi-Fi, so you can send messages over Wi-Fi even when you don't have a cellular connection. I'm going to try this out in the airplane next week, because that was one thing I was always impressed, is that I could get messages for my iMessage friends while they were in the air. And that was also why I switched to Allo.
If you use WhatsApp, you could get that too.
True, but it's just hard to get people to a particular app.
I got to tell you, once you do it, though, it's amazing. I've moved my entire family to WhatsApp.
I've only gotten the family. The friends are still in the messaging, you know, the messages, SMS bubble.
Yeah, no, my in-laws are stuck in the SMS, MMS world. But, like, database message, data space-based messaging, not database messaging, but database messaging is the only way to go. Like, all this over-the-air crap is just it's so 1986. I keep saying it. I'm a broken record. I'm sorry.
Verizon also says in its support page, there are no purchase or subscription charges to use chat features. However, data rates will apply because chat features use your data connection, unlike traditional SMS and MMS messages. So it really is just a richer SMS that is using other resources besides SMS.
But that means that right now you still need to be SMSing with... SMSing or texting. Hey, that's a better way to say that. With someone also on Verizon in order to get these features right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. So at some point.
Although doesn't Sprint have RCS active? Last I checked. Let me Google that for me.
I don't know.
I could have sworn.
I know that their
2017 they had said they launched
Sprint
it.
RCS. Okay. Yeah, well, and then the question, you know, remains, are they compatible versions of RCS? And yeah, so it's like it's partially it's a solution, but partially it's potentially also muddled in its own way.
Listen, if this means I'm going to get like actual quality videos from my friends, I guess I'm cool with it, because I have to tell you, the low bit rates that have been sent my way just...
Yes.
It's not okay.
Yes.
It's
agreed.
Not with the megapixels we have on these phones these days, people.
We'll talk about megapixels later.
Yeah.
But for now, we're going to talk about OnePlus.
Okay. Also has megapixels.
For one brief moment, the Snapdragon 855 that was recently announced was known to debut in OnePlus's 2019 flagship device. OnePlus CEO Pete Lau showed a slide on stage at the Snapdragon Tech Summit last week that said just that. It said, first to feature the Qualcomm Snapdragon 855. Obviously, that would be a huge get for OnePlus. But it turns out that the slide deck had it wrong. OnePlus said they said a non-native English speaker did the slide and confused that message with, quote, one of the first devices. And Gadget pointed out that OnePlus stuck to this claim on a number of occasions before actually being called out on it. Their Twitter account even seemed to confirm it. Confirmed that they were the launch. But nonetheless, OnePlus clarified after the fact to say, no, we didn't mean that. We just meant that we will have it in tow, which makes sense. Their devices have always had the latest Snapdragon processor. But to be the first would have been a really big deal.
So,
and Yes, Rob.
So does this mean that we need to reset the it's been X number of days since OnePlus had a marketing blunder?
Yes, I think it does. This was an entire story devoted to that, I think. So.
Sorry. I just love that so much. I love it.
It's been a while
because I thought OnePlus got their act together. You know, by the way, I got the OnePlus 6T, and that's quite a phone.
It is quite a phone. You know
Ron
what I just
got an upgrade.
Yeah, you know what I just saw? Android Police 3 or 4 hours ago posted an article, best smartphone of the year.
Yeah, OnePlus 6T. That. I saw that.
Yep. 6T is their pick for best smartphone of the year.
There's no point. I recall somebody saying on Twitter, there's no point in buying the Pixel 3 if you don't want to spend that much money because you could just buy a OnePlus for nearly $300 less.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a good phone.
So
you're going to enjoy it, Ron. I know it.
I'm already enjoying it. Thank you, awesome. Jason.
Yeah. cool. All right. Let's do some email.
Well, before we do an email, I've got some breaking news of my own.
Oh. Okay, Victor, working overtime. We just don't play this breaking news bumper as much as we should. So
you got to get it in before the end of the year.
Actually, Victor, this is your breaking news, so I'll let you have it.
Oh. So with all this talk about moving up the demise of Google Plus and stuff, I decided to move up the change for Ron's lower third.
And it says finalepodcast.com.
Perfect.
At RonXO. I imagine at Ronix. So that's Twitter, right?
Twitter and Instagram.
Okay.
Oh. So,
there you go.
Yeah. It looks all nice and compact.
Now. Yeah.
It's great. It's condensed. I like it, Victor. A+. Good job.
So far, none of this is breaking news. It's faking news. So
it's faking news.
Yeah. I spent a lot of the early show working on that. So
Victor's a good man. Let me tell you. A wonderful life because we got Victor with us. But so speaking of It's a Wonderful Life, we got some email. Chris wrote in and says, "Hey, AAA crew, big fan, love you guys." And we love you, Chris. We love you. Chris says, "My recommendation for the holidays is 100% the Huawei MediaPad T3 9.6-inch Android tablet. For $70 refurbished or $100 new, it's an incredible value for such a nice tablet with great build quality. Thank you for the time and hard work. Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah." Thank you, Chris.
He's right.
That's a great suggestion. That's a great price point.
We
got another email on the same topic from Sean, who writes in and says, "I have to thank Ron," you're welcome, "for suggesting the Asus ZenPad 3 S10. This thing is amazing. I just couldn't justify the price of the Samsung Galaxy Tab S4.
Yeah.
No buyer's remorse here. Merry Christmas to the entire Twit crew and all their guests." And Sean and Chris both giving great testimonials of great tablets to give to your loved ones for the holidays, whether it's the Huawei MediaPad T3 at just $100 new, or the Asus ZenPad 3 S10, which you can get for like $250 new. And they're both great tablets. So I haven't played with the Huawei, but I used my Asus ZenPad 3 S10 this morning at the gym while I watched Arrow. So
nice.
There you go.
Not bad. And the Asus ZenPad 3 S10, what does that cost now?
It's about $250. It's about $250 at Amazon, I think.
Okay, so that's a little bit of a price increase from the other one.
A little bit. But it's got better stuff going on. It's got better processor, a little more stuff going on.
And it's not the price tag of the Tab S4. I mean, that's like
That's an investment.
Yeah, folks. they're trying to pit that against higher needs. For people with higher needs from a tablet. And if all you need is to just consume media and read some things, like, you don't need a $500, $600 tablet to do that.
I'm trying to figure out. So the Lenovo tablet, remember the Lenovo tablet that I got for my daughter last year?
Oh, yeah.
I want to do an update on this. I want to take a look and see. So it's the Lenovo Tab 4. And just to kind of tag on to this, I'm going to go ahead and put that in here just to do a follow-up, because I had a lot of questions after I recommended that as like a cheap tablet or whatever for like if you want to give a tablet to your kids or whatever, and for just light media playback and games or whatever. So this is they're selling it on Amazon for this is basically what I paid for it, around $125. And I would say a year later, just FYI for anyone thinking about doing it, it's still okay. The one downside is that the headphone jack is jacked. Like,
it's jacked.
Yeah, it doesn't really work anymore. Like, we have to use Bluetooth headphones with the tablet, which is a solution. It just means one more thing to charge, and to be honest, my five-year-old doesn't really care. She doesn't know the difference.
That's good.
But anyways, for anyone that was considering that, you know, since we're on the subject of inexpensive tablets, that's another one that you can consider. But keep that in mind. I would say the longevity of that headphone jack just over time.
Depending on how a kid's tablet.
She's 5 years old. Yeah. So I guarantee you she grabbed that headphone and was like, and pull it out of there when she's done.
I mean, I still do that. Sometimes I still drag my laptops by the headphone jack, you know, just on the floor behind me.
Sometimes I'm like swinging my tablet in the air, but the headphone just because. Totally. We've all been there. Yeah. All right, let's take a break and thank the sponsor, and then we'll get into more news in the form of hardware. But this episode of All About Android is brought to you by CuriosityStream. And this is a service that's perfect for you if you love documentary filmmaking and documentary television. This is the world's first streaming service addressing our lifelong quest to learn, explore, and understand all components of just a wonderful documentary. It's actually founded by John Hendricks, the founder of the Discovery Channel. And you can get it on all sorts of platforms, everything, web app, Roku, Android TV, Android, Xbox One, smart TVs, iOS, Chromecast, Amazon Fire, Amazon Kindle, Apple TV. I'm sure I've missed some, but there you go. You're going to find CuriosityStream everywhere. And it's also available worldwide. And you'll find all different types of topics, science, nature, history, of course, technology, society, and lifestyle. And just a number of documentaries. One that I'm really interested in is a documentary called Can a Computer Write a Hit Musical? And it's like an hour documentary exploring this idea of using algorithms for creativity and creating something out of that that could go toe-to-toe with what humans can write. And I think there's a lot of work being done here. And I think there's a lot of, like, right now it feels early days, but I have no doubt that at some point people will be listening and loving music that's created entirely by an algorithm, because music is so mathematical and at its core. But anyway, so that's cool. You can also find award-winning documentaries, including Stephen Hawking's Favorite Places, The Hunt for Dark Matter, Birth of the Internet, Cyber War. There's just a bunch of content here, bunch of shows, documentaries that you can find. Get unlimited access starting at just $2.99 a month. And you can even check out their premium plan, which includes Ultra HD and 4K streaming. Just go to curiositystream.com/twit for unlimited access to the world's top documentaries and nonfiction series. And for our listeners, if you enter promo code TWIT when you're prompted during the sign-up process, your membership is completely free for the first month. So you get that first month totally free. You can watch everything that you can fit in that time and get even more addicted to it. That's curiositystream.com/TWIT. And make sure and use the code TWIT. That's your ticket for your first month completely free. And we thank CuriosityStream for their support of All About Android. All right, let's dive into some hardware.
Oh, boy.
Oh, Flo.
We're not talking about...
I don't know.
Okay, Krusty the Clowns. So we're not talking about galaxies just yet, new ones, besides the ones that came out this year. But we are talking about some new series of phones from Samsung called the A8 series. So this is a mid-ranger. And the thing that is very exciting about this is that design-wise, it uses a very different kind of design than the other Samsung phones you know. This has a Infinity O display cutout design.
Tell us what the Infinity uh-oh is.
Yeah.
So that is a 6.7-millimeter hole. And it's displaying a... What is that displaying? It's displaying a camera.
Yeah, there's a camera inside.
Just making
that
sure it's
hole
a camera.
Punch.
It could be...
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a camera.
Oh, there it is.
And that camera on the rear, well, I don't know what the camera is on the front, but on the rear, it's a 24-megapixel camera with a 10-megapixel telephoto and 5-megapixel depth lens. So some interesting
so triple camera on the back.
Yeah. Also 3400 milliamp battery on the inside, USB-C, which is nice for a mid-ranger because I just feel like that always like ties everything together to have, you know, a port that's in of this generation.
Yeah.
Also on top of that, there's a 6.4 full HD display. As you could see, or as you saw in the renders, it was edge to edge, which is kind of why this whole cutout is happening, as well as a Snapdragon 710, 6 or 8 gigs of RAM and 128 gigs of storage. That's a lot of RAM, I have to say, for a mid-ranger. And I'm wondering if this is spelling what is, you know, coming for the future, in the sense of these mid-range phones that can kind of like do everything you need but don't cost as much as those flagship phones that do everything you could want.
Samsung making their mid-rangers maybe compete more directly with some of the other mid-rangers, like if you were to consider the OnePlus devices mid-range, which would be, and I'm not even sure that they necessarily are. Price-wise they are. Mm-hmm. And often those come out with just stacked RAM.
Yeah.
You know,
this one also.
And a modern, you know, the best processor. So they have to compete.
Well, I'm just wondering. I mean, I figure Samsung's like, listen, we're only going to make so much money off the flagships. We got to get back into the mid-range market. Like this is where China is beating us. This is where all these other, you know, companies are beating us in these markets. So
it's all
business, baby.
I think the question then for us is,
how do we feel about the Infinity O?
Do we like a notch? Do we like a bucket? Or do we like an O?
I like a teardrop myself.
I like a teardrop. Yep.
That's what the OnePlus 6T's got.
Yeah,
teardrop's nice. It's a very nice teardrop. So
I don't know. I'm okay with the bar.
What's that?
I'm okay with the bar.
So you're okay. No notch whatsoever, just bezel.
No, I'm okay with bezel.
No notch.
Okay.
No bezel.
The other option here is friend of the show Evleaks posted case manufacturer guide shots of the Galaxy S10, supposedly. And when you look at that picture, you see the cutout, the Infinity O, centered up at the top. And so is this subtle enough? What do you think? I can't decide how I feel. Sometimes I look at it and I'm like, well, it's pretty minimal. But then other times I look at it and it literally feels like someone took a hole punch to the display. Mm-hmm. And I don't like
when
that.
You would just put the hole punch on the paper and you just make all the holes.
Yes, exactly.
Exactly.
So I don't know how I feel. I go back and forth. I'm a flip flopper.
I love it.
What about you? Ron, what about you?
What about me?
Yeah. How do you feel about this?
I mean, I don't mind it. I don't know. It's like, I the thing is that they're trying. I mean, everyone's trying.
Yeah.
Like, they're trying to pack as much stuff in, and they're trying to increase the, you know, what these phones can do, and they're trying different things. And as we've talked about in the show, I'm not against innovation. I'm not a crazy person. I think it's a little wacky, and, you know, I like wacky, but I don't know. I don't know if I love this or not, but. Yeah.
Okay.
It's going to take a while.
I like the tier.
Ron's a teardrop.
I like the teardrop. Yep. I'm a no bezel. Yeah, whatever you need to get me to no bezel.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
I mean, to a certain degree, this is if the pursuit is no bezel or minimizing notch down to the point where it's no bezel, then these have succeeded. Because they've literally stripped out all the space that they were carving out for all these other things down to the one and only thing they possibly needed that space for, and that was the lens.
The lens, exactly.
So to that end, this is about as close as you get to a bezel-less, unless they put things underneath the display.
Well, I was just going to say, so at what point are we going to be able to get the lens integrated into the display, either underneath it or right on top of it or whatever? That's going to be the true innovation.
Yeah. I don't know when we see that, but
or some sort of non-photo lens based light mapping technology that's like scanning, like I don't know. I'm not Tony Stark. I don't know what I'm talking about.
Or maybe a camera that pops up from the top.
I love the pop up. I love the
innovation.
But that's not the only hole punch, right?
Heck no. Hole punch is a thing.
This week.
Apparently, the hole punch is now a full blown thing.
for the 399th episode, this is like a dream come true. So let's hear it. Yeah.
The Huawei unveiled the Honor or Honor View 20, depending on how you like to pronounce Honor the right way.
Honor hole.
Yes, 4.5 millimeter hole to the left. By the way, that is smaller than Samsung's, at least. So if you like to minimize the cutout, this is the way to go.
This is a race I had no idea that people were competing for. It just happened.
And it all happens at once, right?
They put out the flyers and just decided to have the race.
Yes, it's synergy. It's weird. And not only that, not only is there a 4.5 millimeter hole, punch out, whatever you want to call it, the Honor View 20 also has a 48 megapixel rear facing camera using Sony's IMX586 sensor that Sony announced earlier this year. It's going to feature a 48 megapixel AI HDR mode that will, of course, utilize the Kirin 980 chipset that Huawei puts in this device. Also something called Link Turbo, which simultaneously downloads via mobile and Wi-Fi, so increasing your speeds.
That's innovative stuff that I want to see here in the U.S.
Don't worry, 5G's got you covered as far as speed is concerned.
Yeah, sure.
No problem whatsoever.
If it was up to my carrier.
More details later this month. Huawei is also expected to unveil the Nova 4 next week, also with a 48 megapixel sensor. I'm not sure if that one has a cutout front-facing camera. Yeah. Yeah. So there we are. Oh, and by the way, 48 megapixel camera isn't just a Huawei thing. The Xiaomi president, Lin Bin, posted a pic to Weibo that shows a close-up of an unknown device with the words 48 megapixel camera next to the lens that they say is coming in January. So there's a couple of races going on here. There's the, you know, hole punch display. There's the 48 megapixel camera thing. Are we excited about 48 megapixels?
I can't wait for Matteo to get his hands on this phone because I just want to like.
Yeah, he's the one that's gonna.
I just want to see why. I just want to see why.
Yeah,
convince me, someone.
Yeah.
Convince me.
Okay.
I mean, more megapixels the better, right? Weren't we moving away from that?
Yes.
Wasn't it? It wasn't like the number of megapixels. It was the number of sensors, and it was all like
right.
And all this other stuff.
Yeah, but now I guess we're back to more megapixels, so that's cool.
Well, now that we've boosted our capabilities around less megapixels and using AI to sharpen things and better sensors, now I mean it could only get better if we have more megapixels, right? Like it's only up from here.
It's only direction you can go. Look at that guy. He's going up in megapixels.
Yeah. Wow. It's amazing the amount of megapixels on that guy.
So many megapixels.
All right, Rob, go.
Can we talk about crazy?
All right,
so,
sure.
I feel like I've been having a lot of conversations in my personal life about dual screen devices. It's been in the zeitgeist. And that's why I was so excited to see this little bit of innovation coming from Vivo, who is showing official renders of the Vivo Next 2 device. The front display, it's like they made it for me. The front display is bezel-less with no visible front-facing camera. The rear display shows camera hardware up top. I guess you use that for selfies if you want to. It's not Vivo's first dual-screen phone. The Nubia X announced last month also had a dual-screen design. But I got to tell you, dual screen is the future, my friends. It's going to be, I really think it's going to be in a standpoint of, in this case, where it's, you know, flipping, you know, front to back, or like we've seen with the foldable displays, or with a hinged, you know, like we saw a couple months ago with the open book kind of design. But multiple displays are coming. It's just how they're going to get integrated. And I think this is amazing.
So just to kind of do a little bit of an explainer on the picture that you were just showing, Victor.
Yeah.
It looks like two different phones, but essentially what they're showing off in this
one side
layered thing is each one is actually a side. So if you imagine that one that's on the bottom there, you can see that it has a bezel and everything. That's the rear facing camera hardware. So that would be the other side of the phone. It's just showing you them both at the same time, because how do you show both sides of a dual display phone? You have to show two different versions of it, I suppose, in a single image anyway. So, yeah.
What I, What I love about this is, why on earth would you need two displays front and back? Like, you can't see the other one. Like, think about it.
Because it's so important to you that you have a bezel-less phone.
True.
And then it's also so important to you that you have a selfie camera.
All right.
So therefore, which side, you know, it's like party in front, or what is it? Business in front, party in back.
If I was an app developer, I would completely take that and make a phone, make a reader, like a Kindle app or something like that, where you read the first page and then you turn the phone and read the second page and and read the third page, right? I mean, because like, what is the UI interaction with a display on each side of it? Like, you're quickly going to look to see what's on the other side. Like, I don't know. I love it. Innovation is crazy.
All right, Victor, take a look at the doc real quick. I put one more link in there that Bleak added in chat, which I did see earlier, and I meant to put it in here. And so thank you for posting this. This gives you a sense of what the back screen could possibly do, and it just amounts to like a moving wallpaper. But so that would be the back, which is
kind of pointless.
Interesting.
Is it? I could imagine teenagers using this to like,
oh, for sure,
pin their messages, like,
yeah,
like.
And this is the Nubia X, by the way. This is the other one.
That's so funny.
Anyway,
isn't that like the kind of technology that would be used for like a heads-up display or something?
Yeah, I mean, it looks kind of neat.
That would have to be a see-through display then, right? Or a projector for a heads-up display, right? Yeah. I mean, that's cool. Don't get me wrong. If I can get my phone to do that, I'd do it.
But what is the hit on battery life?
Right.
When you're driving two phones.
Yeah,
the phone really doesn't look that much thicker than modern phones, so...
Yeah.
But, and you've got display hardware on both sides, so the battery is probably going to be small. I don't even know.
let's give it up for Vivo for trying something new.
Yeah,
good job, I like Vivo. Good job, Vivo.
Way to give
I would happily test drive either of these phones.
Yeah, I mean, Vivo, what were they doing a year ago? I feel like, or even half a year ago, weren't they? Yeah, they were the ones with the pop-up camera.
They were the pop-up camera. Yeah.
So, you know, they're trying. Which is great. Hey, they're doing some new stuff. Awesome. Way to go, Vivo.
Way to go. Way to go for those of you writing us emails. Thank you so much.
Way to go, you.
We really appreciate it, and we love to help you and listen to your comments and feedback. This feedback comes from Dan. Dan writes, regarding YouTube Music, I kind of disagree with the negative comments made, as the app has come on hugely since launch. Over the past few weeks, higher quality audio has been added, plus an equalizer. The UI is way ahead of Play Music. Just the fact that singles are separated out from full albums to me is a massive plus. In Ireland, YouTube Red was never available. So now, for €3 extra a month on my Play Music family plan, my wife plus my two kids now also get ad-free YouTube.
That's nice.
For me, all I need now is the ability to bring playlists across from Play Music, and I'm all in.
Yeah, we're all waiting for that.
Yeah, I think it's fair. Has any of us been living with the new YouTube Music?
Well, nope. No, because it lacks all of my library. So, like, why would I live with it? You know what I mean? if I wanted to.
You're not prepared to jump into it and listen to music because it's not prepared to receive you.
I just feel like it tackles music in a "we'll tell you what you want to listen to" sort of way, and that's not what I want out of a music player.
Mm-hmm.
Want to know what I know what I want to listen to. I don't want to follow, you know. But I get it. Some people really like that. So
yeah, we did also receive a tip from Eric, who wrote, "Just wanted to mention that YouTube Music does work with Android Auto. You can't start it from Android Auto for some reason, but if you start it beforehand, all of the standard controls work in Auto." I will say this was the same for Google Podcasts for a while, and actually, just to take it back to Allo again, Allo doesn't exactly work with Android Auto unless you receive an Allo. And so I'm just thinking about this in relation to Android Auto and how sometimes Google's apps just don't work on Android Auto.
Right.
From the get-go. Like,
They just don't work.
You can't bring them up in a voice command, or you can't bring them up from the menu. You have to go into the system and launch it behind the scenes and then go into Android Auto, which is just not user friendly.
Yeah.
What's up?
I mean, that's just what Google does, right? Launch it, and it doesn't do everything you expect it to, and then like a year later, it's closer. But it's
Pixel never Slate.
Perfect. I'm going to circle back real quick on this whole Vivo thing, because yes. Bleak has been like our reporter on the scene.
Cub reporter. Yes. I love it. You know, like
I just put one final link under the email, so it's where you were probably already are, Victor. If you show this video, so it shows the Nubia X, the dual screen phone, and I'd say about a third of the way through, it gets rotated around to the back. So this is the front, mostly bezel-less, I would say. You know, there's slight bezels at the top and the bottom, but and then flips it over, nothing. And then at some point, you'll see, bam, there you go. Now your screen kind of appears. And it's the full
That's
interface.
Cool.
That's kind of cool. I'm into
it. Why? Just flip the phone over.
I just like the technology and the fact that it's like a back and there's a display integrated. Like, I like that.
I do too, but just flip the phone over. It's everything's there. Yeah. It's just like, I don't understand. Yeah. Who's this for? What are you going to do with this? Like, yeah. I don't understand. Like, I just want to know. I want to know what the use case is. That's all I want to know.
Selfies. That's the use case.
Yeah. And screensavers.
You want a bezel-less in front, we'll give you selfies in the back. And give you the chance to look at them, because that is a selfie, right? That you can look at yourself.
It does help frame the photo, I will say. That's why the front-facing camera exists.
Yeah, now. I don't know why it existed before selfies was a term.
Well, selfies everything looked became horrible as a result.
Yeah. Yeah. It's come a long way. Let's take a break and thank the sponsor, and then we'll get into some apps news. This episode of All About Android is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. If you're thinking about buying a home or you're considering it, guaranteed, you know, if you're looking into financing, you're monitoring those interest rates and seeing, hey, they're creeping up. Little by little, they're creeping up over time. And that can create some anxiety when you're thinking about buying a home. It's the last thing you want to have to worry about is now the right time, especially if you've never done it before. There's a lot of uncertainty that can creep in. Well, our friends at Quicken Loans are doing something about that. They're calling it the power buying process, and it's very simple. Just a couple of steps. First of all, you answer a few simple questions. They're going to check your credit, and once they do that, they're going to give you pre-qualified approval. Secondly, Quicken Loans will verify your income, your assets, and your credit. Doesn't take them very long to do that. It's just 24 hours or less than to give you a verified approval. They hit you back. That gives you the strength of a cash buyer, so you can actively find something, and you know you're in it at that point. You can say, I want to get that home and start the process. And then finally, the third step, once you're verified, you qualify for their all-new exclusive Rate Shield approval, which basically means they're going to lock up your rate for up to 90 days, whatever it happens to be at that point that the clock starts ticking, whatever the rate is, the interest rate is, while you shop during those 90 days. It's not going to go anywhere. If rates happen to rise, the Fed raises the rates, your rate is going to stay the same within those 90 days. If the rates happen to drop, your rate will also drop. So no matter what, you know, the rate that you lock in, that's as high as it's going to get within those 90 days. And it could go lower if things improve. Either way, you win. Obviously, it's the kind of thinking that you'd expect from America's largest mortgage lender. So to get started, go to rocketmortgage.com/Android. Rate Shield approval is only valid on certain 30-year purchase transactions. Additional conditions or exclusions may apply based on Quicken Loans data in comparison to public data records. Equal housing lender licensed in all 50 states. NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030. That's rocketmortgage.com/Android. And we thank Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans for their support. And now it's time for App News.
Oh.
Yeah, sorry. Didn't want to get your hopes up. It's not the arena yet.
Kind of did.
We're not going to the arena quite yet. We're going to talk about some app news before we get there. And there isn't a whole lot here, but email. Maybe we won't talk about app news. Do you remember the Newton app? apparently this...
A lot of people were very upset when it went away. I remember that. I remember people being upset. It was another email app that ended and everyone was mad.
Because there's no email apps.
Yet another email app bit the dust. It was actually featured in the arena in 2016. It did not win, but you know, it was around for 5 years. Back in September, it did go away. There were 40,000 paid subscribers that were kind of left dangling on, going, okay, great, now what do we do? Oh, well, we'll start using Inbox.
Hey, 40,000 paid subscribers is a lot, by the way.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Like, even a dollar a person, that's $40,000.
I think they're hoping to make more than
I know. Yeah.
Let's never try to run a company, clearly.
Well, apparently, Essential... confirmed that it acquired Cloud Magic. Boy. I don't know when the acquisition happened. The makers of Newton. No clue on how this email app fits into Essential's game plan, but I don't know.
We can speculate.
Okay, let's speculate. I think that's all we got.
I would like to say that I believe their last hurrah is somehow in the Enterprise.
Okay.
Yeah. Or their last hurrah is, no, not pivoting, but I think they might maybe go after a certain niche of user. The way that they kind of have. I mean, the name is called the Essential Phone, for goodness sake.
Yeah.
It's essential. Mm-hmm. And what else is essential but email?
That's true.
Right? And, you know, BlackBerry thinks it has the market, but oh no, here's Essential coming in from the right.
What's interesting to me is that Essential kind of was founded on this idea that it's like close to the core of Android.
Sure.
You know what I mean? It's and an acquisition of an email company just makes me think like, oh, well, so then they're going to spin out there. They're going to start servicing their own apps to replace Google's apps within their.
Oh, I see where you're going.
Their service, possibly? I mean, I don't know.
I have a completely different theory.
Cool. Yes, please, what's your theory? Cool.
I have a theory that they raised a bunch of money and they all really like that app. And so they're like, yeah, let's get that. Let's put it in. Then everyone who liked that app will want an Essential phone. When I saw this, I thought this is a complete vanity purchase.
Oh, really?
Okay. I think it's purely just like, hey, we can do a cool thing like this. Let's do it. Why not? Because they probably got it on the cheap.
Probably, yeah.
Right? Yeah. And now they can go to all those customers and be like, we brought it back. Here it is. And who knows how long it will last. But like, it just seems like it was just like completely frivolous, like because they can.
Huh. And
that's my theory.
And like a marketing / goodwill move for all of those users that maybe next time they upgrade, they'll get an Essential phone.
Maybe.
Is that kind of what you're thinking?
It's an odd strategy, I'll admit. But as we've seen, this is an odd company. How much was that dongle?
Oh God, what was it like?
$150.
$150. Yeah. Maybe they'll give. Maybe they'll give Newton users a free dongle if they buy an Essential phone
for listening to your email.
Yeah, a year and a half phone at this point. Old phone at this point. So there we go. Who knows what's happening, but we gave you a whole lot of speculation around that. Didn't
Fascinating.
We?
Fascinating.
Ron, you have a new love in your life.
I do have a new love in my life, and it is a couple of weeks ago, months ago. When did it come out? But the Google News app got redesigned and re-released or re-rolled out. And I didn't pay it any mind when it happened. I remember seeing it, in the blogs and everyone talking about it. And, cause I was using Google Now or whatever the assistant, you know, whatever that swipe left kind of solution was. And I thought, oh, it's the same thing. And then I was working on something at work that was related to Google News. And I was like, oh, let me check out the Google News app. And I gotta admit, it has been a transformative experience for me. Like
it is a really great app.
I completely do not use the swipe left Google Now kind of because I'm on the OnePlus and the swipe left doesn't do the same thing, but I don't use the Google Search Discover kind of thing anymore. I'm 100% on the Google News app, and the automatic, like, first off, like, it's the first app I've used where I've enabled the automatic dark mode when it's at night. Like, mm-hmm. It just knows. Like, I've never used the dark or light mode because I don't like having to flip a switch or decide, but you can set it to automatically do it based on what time it is, which is mm-hmm. great. And then at the top of the app, you get a little briefing, which is a rundown of the top five stories that are a combination of whatever's going on in the world. And it tells you there's, you know, the first one is headlines, the second one is headlines, and there, number three is for you. And when it says for you, it's from your search, you know, kind of interests, right? So, you know, it does have a mix of current events, but then also stuff we're interested in. But then they have this really, really cool, I think that's, I don't know if that's the card. They do a good job of collecting different articles from different sources and make a really cool, like, this is just a rundown of all the coverage. Yeah, timeline of when it happens. But if you go back, there's, and I feel bad because we see different things, but there's one view of it that's like almost like a swipe left or right carousel. That and it depends on what the topic is and if the sources have it or not. It doesn't look like you have it. But what it will do is it will show a large image that is about the size of two articles. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they'll pull out quotes from social media and you can swipe left and right to scroll through the different articles. You don't actually have it here.
Yeah,
refresh the page maybe or but you know it is and like I feel and the thing is it's the kind of app that I feel like I discover new things every time I use it. And I'm barely even scratching the surface of what it can do. And the thing is, I know it's an app by Google, and of course they're going to do, you know, their material design and their evolution of the Google design language or whatever. But it, as someone who has avoided the news, I have read more news since using this app than in months.
Yeah.
Just because you just get lost in it. It's great.
Yep.
So I wanted to see if you guys had been playing with it, had been using it, what you thought of it, because this completely blew by me because I just dismissed it and I'm blown away by the app experience.
I really do like this app a lot and there for a while, it became one of my favorite of the Google apps because, like you said, just the changes are really immersive. It's really neat to go through kind of the timeline. I love the timeline feature.
And they integrate video really well. Like on the top of my briefing is a dumb. I don't want to say who it's about, but it's the government. And there's actually a video that just starts playing. And you know how sometimes video interrupts what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Video is seamless in this integration. Like it just completely. Oh yeah, that's interesting. I have the same video, but it appears full width above the article.
Oh, interesting.
And is playing. I wonder if that's a setting or something like that. That's interesting. But yeah, no, it's the full video is the full width of the phone, which is interesting. Yeah.
I mean, I do. I love the app. It's a really great app. I just kind of hit a point to where I was like, I was using the app so much and that it was just like the news is rarely ever uplifting. It was a great app at making me want to check it all the time. And then at some point I had to stop and I just had to stop using the app. And
well, part of it is that you have to tell it what you like and what you don't like. And I do that. I say, I'm not interested in this. I don't want to know this. I don't know. There have been a couple of outlets that have been on there that I've been like, nope, I don't care about them. I don't want to hear from this outlet. And you tell it what you like and it does, you know, like right now my feed is all baseball and comic books and movies and music. Like it's pretty darn good. And then it's peppering in local news that I don't even know. And now I feel more informed of what's going on in my community in Brooklyn and Queens. Like it's pretty nice. Jason, if you go on the headlines tab, I'm getting the horizontal slider. I don't know if you can see it if I hold up, but yeah, see.
Oh, there you go.
So there's the slider. You know, that's pretty cool, even though it's that jerk. But but yeah. So you know, like it's pretty neat. It's a good interface. It's just it's at the very top when I get it. I don't know why you're not getting it.
Yeah, I don't know, but I've got an NPR podcast that I can play right from here.
Well, that's interesting.
Yes, it is a really nicely designed app. I've been staying away from it, but I love the design of it. And apparently what I need to do is I need to come back in here and say less stories like these things.
It takes time. You have to do it daily. You have to kind of commit to it a little bit, but
I have to send signals to Google.
No, you do. You kind of do.
I need to send more signals to Google. Google doesn't know me well enough yet, even though I've shared my entire flippant life.
You think so, yeah. It's been 7 years, right? How many years of it?
but also the reality is your opinions and your desires, they change over time.
It is a new routine for me. So if I have some idle time on my phone, I will pop in and go, nope, don't want this, dismiss. Yeah, I'll do work.
You're gonna
but
go
you know
in there
what?
And do
the
work.
Stuff gets more and more tailored to what I want every day.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, totally. You know, if I opened up the Google News app and it was all Android and music, I'd be stoked.
Oh, I was going to say you might be bored, but
so, I might get bored actually. But...
Well, because they'll surface the same stories but from different sources, like, okay, right. I've read this article 5 times at 5 different places already.
But that's why you got to give it that feedback. But I mean, I don't know. It just blew me away, and I wanted to just like share some love for it. And some folks in the chat room are saying they're getting the wide video that I was getting. So maybe it's some sort of A/B testing going on within the app or whatnot. Or Jason, you might have mini cards preferences set in your Google News app.
Yeah, we'll take a look. Settings.
That's a Scooter XN.
In the settings, there is a mini cards function.
So turn that off. Now go back.
Oh, sorry.
And yeah, there you got it. There. Oh wow.
There we go.
Yeah. So that's the exact same video I was getting. Yep. And so now that's probably why you didn't have the swiping. Yeah, there's the carousel, right? That's pretty cool.
Yeah, pretty neat.
Yeah, it's pulling in Twitter and it's pulling in stuff. Like I like it. It's I'm just impressed, and it's like it's actually got me back into reading the news, which is these days a difficult feat.
So. Sure.
I will say it's really good for Twitter because I'll see conversations that I didn't see when I was on Twitter, and they'll surface for me after they've happened, so I can go catch up on the threads. So like I'll get Roxane Gay's tweets in my news feed, and then I can go back and check it later. Also, I totally have that story in my feed as well, the light bulb one.
Oh, did I tell you that?
I also have that feed in my story.
I'm pretty sure we'll have very similar stories in our feeds.
I've been using this, by the way. I have the NVIDIA Shield TV at home. I know I was so late to the party. This thing's been out for like 3 years.
You know, a lot of people bought them because they were super on sale for Black Friday.
Yeah, it's great.
I think, yeah.
I like it a lot.
Yeah.
I like it a lot. Okay, let's take an email. Real quick here, T-Bay from Melbourne, Australia says, after hearing Ron talk about the wireless life and finding a set of reasonably priced Jabra Elite 65Ts that Jason was so positive about, I pulled the trigger to see if it lives up to the hype. So basically, this email is like a little mini review. If you were thinking Bluetooth headphones, you're going to see these suckers on sale a lot right now. I've noticed them on sale. Normally, they're like $150, $180, and I've seen them on sale as low as like $100 for a pair. Really good, like stocking stuffer, as far as Bluetooth headphones are concerned. Anyway, so... Here's the quick mini review. Sound quality is good. Let's see here. His go-to pieces specifically are Elgar's Cello Concerto in E minor with Lynn Harrell. Getting really specific here. And the Cleveland Orchestra, Slipknot's Wait and Bleed, Kodo's Zoku that I use to evaluate the drivers. Sound really good. Podcasts sound mostly okay. Sometimes the left earpiece buzzes if the source clips or has a high level of high frequency content. There's some white noise, though I run a flat equalizer with hear through off. Hear through is the way to like turn on the microphone so that even though your ears are sealed by these headphones, you still hear your surroundings. Some noise and stuttering if the phone, a Nexus 5, is doing anything heavy.
Could
be the Nexus 5. Battery life has been pretty good, though not challenged yet with anything other than a 45-minute commute or an hour or so of chores. I've also not tested the fit yet, but have a couple of use cases planned, including exercise and on my motorbike. I have to imagine on a motorbike, like with a helmet, that might be kind of a challenge to fit it in there. Those are my words. He says on the ladder, they're comfortable once my helmet is on. Well, there you go. But putting the helmet on and off could be tricky. He says, I also need to play with the assistant a bit more, as I can see this being a feature I use a lot. Personally, I don't really use that feature ever.
For shuffling.
Everybody's shuffling?
No, the assistant feature is for shuffling music.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, or just answer, I think, issuing any.
Or when you're hiking on the trail and you can't check your phone because it's in your, like, I have a thing.
Oh, okay.
Then I ask it for the time. I know what I'm doing.
Yeah, that's nice. Yeah. And you don't have to pull it out. TB says, I have to thank you for the recommendation, albeit begrudgingly followed, as I wasn't convinced that the experience would be anywhere near this good. I will still keep my wired in-ear / canal earphones if I want to really get into what I'm listening.
I have those backups anyway.
Great review, TB. Thank you for sending that in.
Awesome.
And, yeah. They are really great headphones. I have heard some people say that they're uncomfortable. I find them incredibly comfortable, but that's just me.
Yeah, ears are hard.
Yeah, everybody's ears.
Ears are tough. Yeah,
They are.
All right.
You know what's also tough?
What?
Hosting and building apps, but we can make it easier because there's a better way. with our next sponsor, DigitalOcean.
Nicely done.
We thank DigitalOcean for sponsoring this episode of All About Android, because DigitalOcean provides the easiest cloud platform to deploy, manage, and scale applications with Droplets, virtual machines that are a scalable compute platform with add-on storage, security, and monitoring capabilities. When you use DigitalOcean, you can choose from standard or CPU-optimized Droplets and customize from there. DigitalOcean is designed for developers. Their easy-to-use control panel and API lets developers spend more time coding and less time managing their infrastructure. DigitalOcean's got industry-leading price to performance. You can access the compute resources you need at the lowest rates, saving up to 55% compared to other cloud providers. And you'll always know what you'll pay per month with a flat pricing structure across all data center regions. When you're working on an app, when you've got a startup, when you're building your business, the last thing you want is any surprises when you're paying for your infrastructure costs. And luckily, with DigitalOcean, you won't have that. And included at no additional cost, you get 99.99% uptime SLA, cloud firewalls, monitoring and alerting, full DNS management, global data centers, enterprise SSDs. You get to use their easy-to-use API and find out why over 150,000 businesses, including some of the world's fastest-growing startups, rely on DigitalOcean to remove infrastructure friction and deliver industry-leading price performance. And I can speak from experience. Me and my friends are working on an application, and we started setting it up. The first stop we went to was DigitalOcean, because it makes everything easier and lets us focus on building the apps that hopefully will be used by many people. It's quite exciting. So thank you, DigitalOcean, for helping us do that. And you can experience DigitalOcean today. Just sign up and receive a free $100 credit at do.co/twit. That's do.co/twit for a free $100 credit. And we thank DigitalOcean for their support and their amazing infrastructure.
Thank you, DigitalOcean, for being so digital and being so oceanic. And now it is time for the arena.
So many enter, but only one lives. Android Arena.
So last week's poll, twit.to/AAApoll398. Those were the letters and numbers and that combination that you plugged into your... There we go. Okay, sorry, yeah. I put the cart before the horse.
I'm sorry I pointed.
Let's see here. So really last week, Streamlabs wins with 48%. Who was that?
That was Juan.
That was Juan. Guest wins another arena. We'll get to that in a second. Second place, Cover, 36%. Who was that? I think that's
that was
Ron.
Me.
And third place, Aniko, returning to the cats.
Well, that was a little cat that I have running on my screen all the time.
Okay.
The thing that you always saw. Yes. I was like, I'm out of the arena. I might as well tell
you might
as
well put
using.
It in there. 16%.
So I feel like these results are a little skewed, because we mentioned before the voting that if the guests win, I would be eliminated. And I just feel like that, I don't know, because Cover was a really good app. Yeah. And clearly it resonated. But thanks to Wade County in the chat room, we can confirm that, in fact, the guests did win 2018 in the arena.
This is breaking news. We're getting news returns. Victor. We're getting the returns. We've got an important announcement to make. We have to interrupt the show to bring you this very important announcement.
Yes, the guests have won the arena, folks, with 148 points. It's the year of the guest, led by Mateo and Team GG&G. I come in
good
second
work.
With 135 points. Jason comes in third with 108 points. And Flo's got 101 points. So
we were close at the end.
So at this point, are we even going to do an arena next week, Jason?
TBD?
It's over.
Yeah,
TBD.
TBD.
I feel like we should, though, because the 399th episode definitely needs an arena, but the 400th episode should have like a mega arena.
A mega arena?
Like a match.
Yeah. I think it's
arena
TBD.
Arena Gladiators.
We've got specialness planned for next week. I don't even know, Ron.
We'll see. We'll have to figure it out.
We'll go with the wind. We'll go where the wind blows for next week's episode. And if it blows us through the arena, or maybe it's an arena of different things, not apps. Maybe it's like an arena of something else.
You could choose your favorite Google app.
Google
Plus. The apps that we're not allowed to bring into the arena.
The forbidden apps arena.
It could be an arena of ideas.
Arena of ideas.
You know, somebody can have Allo and somebody can have Google Plus.
I do news. Oh. I do news.
Nobody should be allowed to bring anything that is dying. And
let's see here. So there is a site. Go to killedbygoogle.com.
Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah, the graveyard.
The Google, killed by Google is the graveyard of Google services. Maybe it's an arena we all choose a dead service.
Oh, man. Fabric.
Oh boy,
some of these are a little intense. Some of these are calling the death before they've even like happened.
Yeah, no, they're like, no, they've got the guillotine.
Yeah, exactly. That's what that is.
Look at
days
this.
Are like, numbered.
Oh man, Grand Central. Do you remember Grand Central?
Oh yeah. Well, Grand Central is the successor, or is the voice before voice was a voice.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. It's all the guts of voice.
Yeah.
Oh man, Google Web Accelerator, Zeitgeist, Google Zeitgeist. Do you remember that?
Jaiku. Mm-hmm.
Oh, Google Desk Bar. Oh see? Man, I love the Desk Bar. That was great.
This could have legs if each of us had chose one of these to champion, and then we had to like talk about it for 2 minutes about why it's so
funny
cool.
What's so funny is to see because the thing about Google is that the Google Graveyard, they don't kill the project dead. It goes on to live as a zombie in other projects.
Exactly.
So like here we see Writely was killed in 2006, but that became Google Docs, right?
Yep.
And Sendaphone and Browser Sync and all the stuff that just got implemented into other stuff. Fascinating. Google Ride Finder.
Google Hot Pot lasted only 5 months.
Oh, look, the Google Nexus One died in 2010.
Oh, wait a minute. We're putting phones on there too?
They did, yeah.
Oh, okay. Are they all on there? Are all the Nexuses?
Just the Nexus One for some reason. Why? I don't know why.
That's a weird that's so one weird. To include yeah, on there. Anyways, okay, we'll noodle on this.
We'll noodle.
We can noodle.
Jaiku.
Yeah,
Jaiku. Oh, do you remember Jaiku? Oh, yeah. Oh, man.
I mean, I don't remember using it, but I remember
Google Wave.
Yes.
Remember that?
Yes.
Mevo.
Still mourning that one.
Sparrow. Oh, Google Listen.
All right. Let's pull ourselves out of the graveyard.
Oh, the Nexus 7 is on there too. They do have the Nexus Q, the
I
Nexus
saw the
4.
The 5X is on there too.
Oh, the Nexus Q deserves to be on there, actually.
Yeah. iGoogle? Right. Do you remember iGoogle? Oh, man.
I do remember iGoogle.
I loved iGoogle.
Yeah.
Listen? I don't know if that's on there, but that's...
Listen is on there. It's totally on there.
Okay, yeah. All right.
The Nexus 6.
All right, let's pull ourselves out of the graveyard, because when we go into the arena, we might be sending an app to the graveyard. So
there you go.
We can return anytime we like. Who goes first?
I lost last week.
But I wasn't here.
Jason goes. You weren't here.
So you go first. I go second. Ron goes third.
Okay.
Yep. And then guests go forever.
Yes, go in eternity, in perpetuity. Okay, I will show off an app that is good if you want to, you know, strike good habits in your life, or maybe bad habits. Maybe you like bad habits. This will help you with that too. It's basically habits in general. It's called Habitify. I think is what it is. And this is one of those apps that I believe is an iOS staple. Took a long time to come to Android, and now it's here. And it just kind of has a nice flow to it, a nice view. So you can see right here, I have a habit that I'm tracking, doing not a very good job of, but it's flossing my teeth, and I don't do it nearly as much as I should. I only really have been using this for a couple of days, and apparently I did not floss my teeth yesterday.
Oh, boy.
I'm sorry, okay? I'm sorry. I'm not the only one in this world that has a hard time flossing their teeth. But anyways, as you can see, it tracks all the data. If I had been good at flossing the last 2 days, you'd see some data there. I know I actually have some data, though, for... What is it? Meditate. See, this I'm actually pretty good at. And I did meditate today. Did I put it in there, I think? I don't know. To be honest, I can't read this on the fly, but still, current streak. There we go. Longest streak, 2. All right, so I'm doing good. In 2 days, I'm doing all right. I could make the changes if I really wanted to, but you track it. It'll appear in your notifications, and you can tap it and say, yes, I did that, and it'll automatically populate it in here. Let's flash forward to after the show, and I get home, and I'm tired, and I'm getting ready for bed, and I need to floss my teeth, and then I actually do it. Then I can go in here, and I can hit that check mark, and then don't you know, it's tracked, and I'm at a 50% completion as I track it over time. Just kind of has a nice flow to it. I appreciate that says reodor. instead of reorder, which is, I think, what it means. But maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it actually does mean reorder. And you can create a new habit. And, you know, there's some suggested
just a reminder,
habits.
Apps are made by people and sometimes yes. typos happen.
It's a new app. They've obviously, they've looked at that screen a million times yes. and they just never caught that. Yes. I understand. I've been there before. And you can set it up really easy, give it a name, you know, pick a little icon, all that kind of stuff, set it up. And then it appears and just kind of notifies you over time. You've got kind of your stats and you can track them, your progress over time. I guess kind of feeling like you've made an accomplishment is really what it's all about, and with lots of charts and neat things like that. And that's it. There's also an app for the Mac, and you can kind of sync this data across devices. So if you want to pull this up on another device, you can, and track all of your data.
That'll be good for you next year when you do the Twit Switch again.
Yeah, that's true. Because I will continue using this every single day.
Mm-hmm. To floss your teeth.
Yes. This is how I will continue to remember to floss my teeth. I promise, teeth, I will take care of you more than I do already. The app is called Habitify, or Habitify. It's a weird word, but just
Habitify.
Habitify. Okay. All right. Check it out. You'll see. You'll like it. I promise. All right, Flo, you're up next.
So you all know I have a thing for streaming apps and streaming music apps that are not Spotify or any of the things people use already. And I was thinking, because it's the spirit of the holidays, and the thing that I don't like about the holidays is when I want to play holiday music and I play it on my Spotify account, that stuff gets cycled into my algorithm. And I am not a year-round holiday girl. I only want the holidays between the 1st of December and the 31st of December.
There is always a place for Gene Autry. Well, what are you talking about?
Before we move on, two things. One, Flo, you are absolutely right. And I feel like, as someone who loves Christmas music and holiday music, I'm surprised that the streaming services haven't tackled this, because you're right. It should not be recommended beyond December 31st. That said, Flo, day after Thanksgiving is the official start. So okay. You can go, you know, so just saying.
That's fair. That's fair. For me, it depends if Thanksgiving's toward more the end of November. Or
it doesn't matter. Day after Thanksgiving. Okay. Day after Thanksgiving. That's right. When it starts. That's
an fair. Absolute date.
That's fair. Okay, so this app, as you all maybe remember, I am a subscriber and a member of Digitally Imported. Mm-hmm. So if you have a annual membership to that, you actually get to unlock the other apps that they have in the Play Store, including, like, there's a classical music app. But this app is called Radio Tunes. And this app is just, like, just random genres, just all the good genres, modern genres of music that you want to listen to. So these are my favorites. And on here we've got 2000s hits playing Beyonce, of course, 2000 dance, 2000s R&B. We've got some 80s, some 90s. We've got Eurodance, because yes, I love Eurodance. 90s rock, Counting Crows. Anybody?
No.
Disco party. No. Love music. This is what I sometimes like to listen to, because they'll just do, like, sultry. Right now it's playing Lionel Richie, Do It To Me. So there it is, the, you know, love song station. But the thing that's really nice about this is during the seasons, they'll have thematics. So hold on, it's loading now. Sorry. They'll have themes. So we've got right now classic Christmas playing. And I like to put this on the living room Chromecast. And it's just all the good old-fashioned Christmas songs, some of them new. You are going to hear the Mariah Carey one on here, of course. Ooh. And if you don't like a song, you just downvote it, and that kind of lets the DJ know, because there's an actual DJ behind every one of these, and it lets the DJ know that you're not interested, but it also bans the song from ever coming back again. So if the DJ decides, I want to play that song for you, you're just gonna hear something else, because I guess the way the DJs do it, I'm assuming they just kind of set it all up beforehand, and so it'll just skip the song you don't want, which I kind of like, because, you know, I was skipping Hootie and the Blowfish on the 90s station. I didn't really want that on there. Sorry to everyone out there.
No, don't be sorry about that. You were right.
No, we want to be with you. So if you want to share with friends, you can share a link. You can share a link. You can't fast forward. This just shows you how much more of the song is left. You can choose stream quality, and a nice feature they just added is a sleep timer, which I actually really like for the... Where is it? Did I put it in here in my favorites? There's actually a chill station on here Sorry, I'm moving fast. Chill Out and Chill Tropical House. Chill Out's really nice just to like fall asleep to. And look at all these classic stations that they've got. Down Tempo Lounge, EDM Fest for those who just love the beats. We've also got Holiday Smooth Jazz. So if you want to listen to something a little more smooth, we've got J-pop on here. You know, it's just so you can actually use this for free. You don't have to have a subscription. It's just that if you have a subscription, it takes care of the ads. But, you know, a lot of devs, very ad-supported, understand that. But if you're just looking for a Christmas station, a free, easy way to do it is to download this app, and then you have other genres of music, too. And it doesn't mess around with your streaming app.
So you can't find specific songs?
No. Right. It's all just like stations. It's like moving the dial on the radio in your car. And you just kind of give in to whatever they're giving you.
Just give in. Just let it go.
Yeah.
Just give in. I like it.
Don't hold it back anymore.
I often have this stuff on in the background. See, we've got 90s hits is one of my favorites. Right now we've got Alanis Morissette. Hand in my pocket. And, you know, I'm going to upvote that. And we'll keep having it. And there's casting. So...
Whenever I think of Christmas, I think of Alanis Morissette.
Always. Always. Bebop jazz, anybody? Come on now.
Heck yeah.
Little bebop jazz.
Sure. So,
ooh, Stan Getz.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
So you were saying that with your digitally imported subscription,
yes,
that also ties into this to remove the ads?
Yes, because I use my Google login to log in digitally imported.
Nice.
So I get all the stations there that I pay for, and I get this, and there's a bunch of other apps too. You can look it up in the Play Store if you're interested. There's like a classic rock and then a classical station and then a jazz station. But obviously, I'm more into the 90s, 80s things that and the 2000s things they offer here, so... Oh, look at that. Papa Roach is on right now.
Oh, okay. So that app is called Radio Tunes.
Move on.
And yeah.
Moving on.
So it's Radio Tunes, free to use and to listen to if you just want it for the Christmas station. And if you decide that you want to support an indie music company to help them continue to pay for all the legality of this music being streamed, then you can subscribe to them annually. And I've been a subscriber for 7-8 years now. So,
nice.
Yeah.
Right on. Good work, except for the Papa Roach thing. But
listen, yeah, we were all 14 once and angry.
Nope, not that desperate. All right, so with my app, even though the guests have clinched it for the year, I still won the hosts.
Oh,
arena.
Sure, that's so that's one way.
This is a victory lap app because I've got a good feeling about this one. And I feel like over the years I've done apps that do similar what this does, but this is an updated and in my mind far superior version. The app I'm talking today is called Typing Hero. Free text expander. And basically what it is if you're familiar with the concept of a text expander, it's the idea of having a helper app that allows you to type short keystrokes to then autofill longer things. So if you find yourself in some sort of job, some sort of situation where you write the same thing a lot and you get tired of writing that whole sentence, you can just do this. So what you do is you add a snippet, as Jason's doing here in the demo for our video viewers. You type in a keyword, which is something like a trigger word. So, you know, let's just say, well, I was just going to, I would just make the keyword AAA. Okay. And then type in the text, all about Android, Arena, results.
Okay. Uh-huh.
Android, Arena.
Results. Okay.
Results. All right. And then hit the little save icon there. And now go back. So now,
I've already activated it.
If you activate it in the accessibility, you need to give it permission to listen to what's going on and rewrite over other stuff. So now if you go into a text messaging app or search bar or anything and just type AAA, you'll see what happens. We need to see Jason. So there you go.
Oh, will it work?
It won't do it in the search bar, actually. Yeah, just go to
let's see here. Let me keep there. Okay. Hey. Ooh, oh, whoa.
Look at that. Like magic.
That was magic.
Pretty
magic
cool.
Right there.
So, you know, if you're like me and you do a lot of email and you do a lot of email on your phone, sometimes you say, you know, like, let me know if you have any questions or concerns. You could just set up a code that just types, you know, LMT. And when I type LMT, it will do that, or, you know, something like that. You probably don't want to do a keyword that is something you often would use. So, Jason, you'd probably write AA at some point. So you'd want to change that. But if you change it to like ZA or ZAA, you know, like something that isn't a word, that can help you. But if you are doing a lot of typing on your phone, this can save you an immense amount of time. It's totally free in the Google Play Store. And also in the settings, you can import if you use TextSpan, which is another very popular text expander, you can import all of your snippets from TextSpan with just one tap. Which is pretty cool. If you can export them from TextSpan, you can import them in. Very cool. And they have a direct link to the XDA developers forum to talk about the app. So pretty cool. Nice. Johnny did a great job on this app. So Typing Hero, free text expander, free in the Google Play Store. Once you start using a text expander and know how powerful it is, you can never go back. So this is a good one to sidle up to, in my opinion. So
Typing Hero. Become the typing hero that you've always wanted to be.
I'm not going to lie. I was kind of hoping this was going to be like a Mario teaches typing kind of thing.
No.
And that would be like a little person like jumping every time you typed properly.
Oh.
Oh, Flo.
Is that like a clippy sort of thing?
You know, Mario teaches typing back in the day.
I remember Mavis teaches. Mavis Beacon teaches typing.
Yes. I also learned how to type from her.
None of this was back in my day. Just saying. Twit.to/AAApoll399 is where you can go to place your vote for your favorite app this week. Is it Habitify? Is it Radio Tunes? Is it Typing Hero? Place your vote and we'll check in on it next week. Victor is circling. Radio Tunes wins Victor's vote.
Wow, Victor. I thought we had a thing going with the lower third.
Yeah. Don't get too comfortable with Victor.
I don't know. Victor, I live pretty close to Papa Roach at one point.
Whoa, wait a minute. It was Papa Roach was the deciding factor?
They're locals. They're from Vacaville. Yeah,
they're local, man.
You got to support the locals.
Okay, all right. All right,
they still
tour
in Sacramento. They still do shows in Sacramento.
Selling out the place?
I don't know about that.
Yeah, they're from Vacaville,
they got a Twitter
right,
following.
Right, Flo?
Huh?
They're from Vacaville, right?
Yep.
Vacaville.
No one good is from Vacaville. I'm sorry. Oh.
Send your emails to Ron
at twit.tv.
That is it for this week. We've hit the end.
Oh, man. That was a big episode.
That was
a lot of stuff.
Yeah, that was a lot of stuff.
Take a moment, by the way. I would just like to reflect. I don't want to spoil next week, but I believe all three of us will not be together. Am I correct? Or not?
Well,
maybe.
Not in person.
I think we're going to have a moment where we will all three be together.
Okay. Well, that's
Ron
good.
And I
that's...
might be switching places.
Yes.
We might be. But,
it's possible.
So let's just take a moment as we're all together amongst the holiday festivities to congratulate ourselves for 399 episodes. I'm pretty impressed.
Yeah.
Good for us.
Good work.
Hey, we keep this going every week. Fresh new content telling you about Android news, hardware, and apps.
For the Android faithful. Yeah.
You know, we keep the discussions going. We bring people on the show. We bring hardware. You know, we've got another year of this.
I'll be honest with you. It is the highlight of my week. I look forward to Tuesday night with my Android friends. So,
absolutely. Yeah. I completely agree. This show's
399. Think about that. We should get 399 AAA tattooed on our arms.
You guys,
and just
I'm,
going forward every single week,
I'm
just
actually
add a number.
Now reaching the age where I want to get tattoos. So,
oh, really? Finally. Oh,
I know. It took
finally.
Me a while.
Welcome to the club.
I know.
Yeah. So many tattoos at this stage.
Ooh. You just wait until I'm 70.
Wow. Then you're really going to ramp it up?
Then I'm really going to. Yeah. Why not?
To say that next week's episode is going to be fun, I feel like is a little bit of an understatement. So I'm just going to leave it at that. And let your imagination run wild. We're going to have a lot of fun next week.
Yeah.
And yeah, we'll just leave it there. Flo, What do you got going on for the next week? Where do you want people to follow you, find you, all that kind of stuff?
I'm actually disappearing from this continent next week. So
okay.
I'm just kind of working for a couple of people and that's that. But after next week, I'll be pretty much, I'll be somewhere else. So, but you can follow me. You can follow me in my adventures at FlorenceLyon.com. And hey, I've been updating and answering your questions. Actually answered a question today for somebody asking about how to use a phone number, one phone number on both Amazon Alexa and Google Home. Sorry, I said that wrong. So go check that out. I also wrote a little, what I'm calling flow flexions. Listen, my parents gave me this name. I'm going to use it to the best of my ability. Okay. Flow flexions, where I just basically write an essay about something I love that brings me joy. So I'm trying to get into the groove. And I think in the new year, you'll see a lot more from me on the website. So please keep visiting because it makes me happy to see those little numbers.
Yes.
Brings me joy.
Right on. FlorenceIan.com.
Yes.
Correct. Cool. Ron, what about you?
Yeah.
What about you, Ron? Huh?
The aforementioned breaking news of my lower third. Let's start on the right side. You can go to Instagram or Twitter and follow me at RonXO. And on the left side of my lower third, you can see my other podcast that I do, Finale, where myself and my co-host Carrie talk about a beloved television series finale that maybe one of us has watched. This week we're doing Quantum Leap, which was one of my favorite shows, and Carrie had never seen a single episode of it. So we watched the last episode and tried to make sense of it. So if you like Quantum Leap, I encourage you to listen to it because it's a fun, good conversation.
Is it a heartwarming episode?
Not so much. No. Not so much. It's a baffling episode. It definitely was one of the more confusing finales, that's for sure. So
interesting. Yeah. Finale. So
go to Finale Podcast. Please subscribe. Subscribe and listen. Thank you, everyone.
Right on, Ron. Thank you. Thanks for the new shot also.
I love it.
Yeah.
There you go.
I appreciate the new perspective.
It's actually very nice to have, a little holiday spirit going on everywhere.
Drinking hot cocoa.
I'll keep it for next week if this is working so well. All right. So
I like it. Victor, thank you. Thanks for not one, not two, but three pretend breaking news breaks.
Oh, no problem.
Really appreciate it.
Hopefully we can get Papa Roach to do a All About Android theme next week.
Well, spoil the... We've got surprises, and now we have one less surprise. Papa Roach next week, anyway.
It's not getting software updates.
You can find me here on Twit. I've been really busy the last week. Leo's been out of town, so I've been doing a bunch of shows and had a lot of fun. But I don't know if you noticed, I've been using the Pixel
I noticed it like two-thirds of the show.
Yeah, I know.
You're like, wait a minute.
And if you want to get kind of my review on this device, you can. Last weekend's screensaver I was on with Ron, or with Leo, not with Ron, with Leo, and we talked all about the Pixel Slate, and you'll be seeing me using it regularly. I don't know what that was.
It's the end of the show.
Oh, okay. I see.
I don't want to get into what I like about it.
Okay. We'll hold on to it. There will be plenty of opportunity to talk about it because, like, I'm using it now. It's my thing. Mm-hmm. It's my tablet. Mm-hmm. It's my
Chromebook. By the way, I found out just end out the show.
Yeah.
So because I didn't read very closely that there are quadruple A batteries in existence now. And the Pixel Pen that you loaned me died.
Oh, and you're like, what do I? Like,
wait a minute. I unscrewed it and I toss out this battery. I'm like, Oh, there's four A's, not three.
I've never seen that before.
So I finally am caught up. Sorry,
everyone. At least you're using it more than I ever did.
Stole the virtues on another day.
Okay. as for this show, as for this day, we are done. Leave us a voicemail, 347-SHOW-AAA. Send us emails, AAA@twit.tv. You can find us on Twitter. We are at Android Show. Arena apps list at twit.to/Android apps. Show notes and past episodes. Probably the most important place to go is twit.tv/AAA. That's where you're going to find all the episodes that we've ever recorded and subscribe links, live times, twit.tv/live every Tuesday, 5 p.m. Pacific. All that information is listed there. and go there. And then make sure to not miss next week because we're going to have a lot of fun. So until then, we hope you have a wonderful week. And we'll see you next week on another episode, a 400th episode of All About Android. Bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody.
Bye. $3.99.
$3.99.